that lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green? She's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a panic of pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there?
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
It'll happen. I have no doubt that it'll happen, because in the words of Neil Warnock, he wants an unbeaten stretch. Yay, an unbeaten stretch. Glorious times will be around the corner, because I think actually Borough got more points than Liverpool now. Well done, Burnley. But let's not talk about that. Let's actually say hi to Robert Nichols, of course, for another edition of Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast in which, Rob, we welcome back another ex-Borough manager and indeed, I think it's fair to say, a genuine Borough legend.
Absolutely. Tony Mowbray's Blackburn. And great time for Borough to play them, having performed so well against Forest. And yes, you're seeing another Borough legend because, of course, we've come back from... we bounced back against Forest after that defeat to George Friend, man of the match performance for Birmingham City last weekend. So, yes, let's hopefully we can do the same again. It's a Sunday match, of course, on Sunday against Blackburn.
This is true. Again, interesting times because obviously British Omotonga, led by the example of George Friend, said, I'll score against my former club as well. So, big relief. I mean, it's tantalising, really, in terms of being a Borough fan, because obviously not quite embedding ourselves within the playoffs, but tantalising, just very, very close by, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've been on those sort of fringes, haven't we, for quite some time. But I think the really sort of the big positive is that every time we have one of these setbacks, we seem to click into the groove straight away afterwards. And every time we have our doubts, as we obviously did against Birmingham City, then we come back with a very impressive result. And it was so good to see us winning that game in the rain, because the Nottingham Forest had put together a really good run, hadn't they? They'd looked really solid at the back as well, and they'd started to win games and started to pull away from the bottom. And you thought Chris Hughton, another wily old manager, an astute campaigner, but Borough were just dominated the proceedings, and we made it look as if what we'd hoped was the case, that against Birmingham City, as well as Birmingham played, also there was an awful lot of the COVID hangover from the Middlesbrough players. Not just from those that were ill, but from those that hadn't been able to train basically for 2 weeks. It's got to take its toll.
When you bear in mind, just looking at the actual figures here, only 7 points adrift of Swansea City in second place. Yeah. I know it's a cliche, but it really is all to play for. I mean, again, you couldn't call it at this particular stage. It's a very tight scenario, but it is important that obviously we get more wins than losses. And I suppose you could actually argue that it would be better to actually have wins than simply have a series of draws.
Yeah. You've got the points as opposed to the morale of being unbeaten. But yeah, absolutely. Let's get another win on Sunday and let's impress on TV this time, because last time obviously it was on Sky and we didn't show. But I think we can definitely say that there was real excuses and not just excuses but reasons behind the sort of lackluster performance. It's always good to see Tony Mowbray back, and once again just like with George Friend and Aitor coming and Adam Clayton coming back, it's only sad that we can't be actually present to welcome the old boss. And
I think it's fair to say that with respect to obviously Borough fans in general, Tony Mowbray probably much more highly regarded than Jonathan Woodgate because he's actually had the diplomacy to effectively appreciate that it's not his side anymore. He's moved on. He's obviously had lots of clubs since then. You know, he did wonders with Coventry City. Arguably, he's still working wonders with Blackburn Rovers because, again, behind the scenes thing isn't necessarily as stable as it might be. They are, of course, a mere 6 points adrift of Borough in 12th position and still not out of it, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, again, I think the notion of a run through is very much there.
Yeah, I think they'll be disappointed, won't they? I think Tony Mowbray will be disappointed where they are on the table because they made a pretty bright start. And I think you remember when we went to Ewood Park that they were playing very well at the time. So, but they're not out of it, as you say. And they've got a goal scorer in Armstrong. So that's always something very much in your favour, isn't it? If there's somebody who can score goals, as long as they can keep him for the next 2 weeks before the transfer window comes.
Well, speaking, of course, about that, it seems that yesterday, and you might well obviously have the update in terms of his latest press conference, but Neil Warnock quite relaxed over Britta Sombolonga's contract future, that he seems that he's in fifth goal, obviously scored against Nottingham Forest. It's interesting that club record £15 million. Those of us who remember when Trevor Francis was the first £1 million footballer, changing times, really, but still, there we are.
Yes, and I think I also... Do you also remember, Alex, many, many years ago, Jack Charlton saying about Stanley Cummins that he could be the first million-pound player? I seem to remember when he was about 17-year-old. It was slight...
there are folk in the land of the baggies who would still say that David Mills wasn't necessarily worth half £1 million when he obviously left Borough to go to West Brom. And actually, to be fair, I don't think his career ever...
Or when he was at Middlesbrough.
Exactly, an interesting line there. So how was Neil Warnock? How was the sort of general press conference? What things can you actually bring to the Fly Me to the Moon fanzine podcast?
Yeah, he was very upbeat, as you could imagine, after that win. And he had things to say about, he's got a lot of reasons to be upbeat, not just because of the players and the performances, but Ashley Fletcher is very close to full fitness. And Grant Hall, the defender, we're almost the forgotten man. He is also getting closer to being up for consideration. He might find it hard to get in the team, of course. He mentioned about Britt Sombolonga, the fact that he said Britt, he applauded how well Britt played and said what the potential that he has to be the best in the league, but he's got to do that consistently. So I guess he's thrown down the gauntlet to Brit, finished the season really, really well. And I suppose that's one of the reasons why he's relaxed about the contract situation. It's all for Brit now, really. Let's hope that happens and we get more goal scoring performance. Well, it wasn't just his goal scoring, it was the way he was bullying people, wasn't it? That he was really putting himself around. His presence was really felt. And of course, the red card at the end was part of that. But I've never seen him play that well against Forest. I guess that might have been helped by the fact that the fans weren't there. But they always get on his back there because he's an ex-Forest player, of course, as we said. But he often flattered to deceive in front of goal. And at times he had to be taken off because he just couldn't get that. He tried too hard. But yesterday he's put that ball in the back of the net. And that's important for him personally as well as for the team.
And I suppose in recent years, we've also seen examples of strikers getting caught up in trying too hard. Maybe Patrick Bamford had a few moments when he also went through that sort of range. But he seems to be sort of quite enjoying life in the Premiership these days, it would seem. So, after a fashion. Of course, it's a doubleheader. And I think as we look to wrap up the month of January, not only are we looking to obviously enhance the vaccination scenario, already knowing people who actually received the vaccine injection and so on. Doubtless you have yourself as well, Robert. So we'll see how that develops. We've got a new president, of course, in the United States in terms of global aspects. We're now under the Biden administration. I say we, obviously, it's a sort of general line there that the global... Yeah. Situation has changed and adjusted. But in terms of the games against Blackburn Rovers and then fairly rapidly, obviously from Sunday to Wednesday, it's home to Rotherham United, who can always be interesting in the worst sense of the word, because you never quite know what you're going to get with Rotherham, really. I mean, sometimes you think it should be an easy 3 points, 4-0 easily, and then they come and sneak away a 1-0 draw or 1-0 win, shall we say.
And we've seen that we've struggled with some of the teams near the foot of the table already this season, and they fight hard, don't they? It's good that we've got this game in, because obviously we were supposed to play it at Boxing Day, weren't we? So it was cancelled then, and you wondered how long it would be left. But it does mean that playing on Sunday, then Wednesday, then Saturday is a lot of football next week.
Yeah, and memory serves, wasn't Rotherham also one of Neil Warnock's former clubs? I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So,
that was maybe his original Red Adair club, Alex, because he saved them when they looked adrift.
So interesting lines from that point of view. Before, of course, it's away to Carrow Road and the Canaries of Norwich, who do seem to have inherited the old West Brom mantle of being a yo-yo club, to actually mention that line of things, where they're up, they're down. They don't seem to be sort of strong enough to actually sustain themselves within the Premiership, but when it comes to actually sort of getting out of the Championship, all seems to be well with respect to that. But
probably, Alex, we could probably say two yo-yo clubs in a row, because Rotherham, you could say the same for them between the Championship and League One. They can't quite sustain it in the Championship, and I think they've talked about, haven't they, the gulf with resources, the difficulties with trying to do that from. So it's that those step ups get more and more difficult in football, and I'm sure we can all, you know, we can see the same pool of teams going up and down between the divisions either way, and that can only be, it can only be bad for football, but it you would think post COVID that those gulfs could become even greater, you know, that Championship teams have had no support for probably it'll be the whole season, and that the resources will be incredibly much, much smaller. Whoever goes up this season into the Premier League, the gulf, you know, it'll be a real challenge to try and stay up.
Certainly, if we look further down the table to League One, and indeed down the coast, it's extraordinary to see that the Lincolnshire, Yorkshire, Hull City, Lincoln City Dynamos are currently occupying first and second positions. I can only sort of say that Lincoln City, certainly their fans would have been going quite crazy if they had been allowed in, because obviously with 21 games, well, half the season more or less wrapped up, 42 points, a good return for them, really. I obviously won't comment on Sunderland, but they're doing very well in ninth position, which is, I think, is mid-table mediocrity in League One. I'm sure, as I say, they should be happy with respect to that, and sort of be delighted to maintain that side of things there. I mean, maybe Steve Bruce might be available to take over them again, you know, if things pan out up the road with respect to Newcastle. It's extraordinary times. So,
let's just be thankful. Let's be thankful that we didn't get relegated in the summer, because it's surely the most difficult of times to get out of that division when everyone's got that wage freeze and wage cap, etc. So there's no advantage from the teams that have come down, etc.
Yeah.
Be very hard.
I mean, you could say the same about Hartlepool United as well. Do you remember them? They used to be a league club. Just gone completely. So it goes. Still, we got Harrogate Town, as we say. Looking at Rotherham, as you say, I mean, it's not beyond credibility that they could actually get out of difficulty. They've got 20 points. They're 2 points adrift of Derby County in 21st place. Of course, now with full-time manager Wayne Rooney in charge. As we say, Sheffield Wednesday. Interesting. I mean, I think that Sheffield Wednesday will be having to work very hard to accommodate the initial points deduction. They have 19 points. I think they might get out of it, but it is very tight. And it's one of those areas where, as we look at it now, not that we're talking about relegation and so on, there are a whole clutch of teams there. It's a difficult Championship all round, I would have said, Rob.
Yeah, I think so. I think for some clubs, it's just about trying to stay afloat and get to the end of the season. Yeah. I think and stay in the division, yeah, obviously. It's, yeah, very difficult. And thankfully, we've only been like looking up, and I would have to say that they're talking to other fans and everything, that the feeling is that we've in such a a miserable time that we're going through, that Neil Warnock and Middlesbrough are giving us a reason to, well, it's something to look forward to, those two games in the week. And just, it's something to smile about, and it's giving us some sort of something to cling on to and some hope.
Just as long as the goal celebrations don't become too excessive, yeah, which means it could all end in tears, and yeah, not one, two, three, or four tears. The headlines from the local newspaper, the Gazette: time to break the chain and be consistent, according to Neil Warnock. He wants the win, Nottingham Forest, to be the start of an unbeaten stretch as the boss for consistency and momentum. I mean, those are two classics that everybody, who, when you're heading to any kind of success, you need consistency and you need momentum. Actually work through on that basis. Do you think Borough are close to actually achieving that? Is that the general feeling, that actually with the players that we've got, because clearly not a great deal of indication that there's going to be a huge movement in or out, although we still have, as we speak, about 10 days of the transfer window to actually work through. But in general, is it a case of, all things considered, we're probably doing as best as we can with 39 points from 24 games?
Yeah, and I think we can think about some of the games that we've lost and think, well, we should, we're disappointed in some of the performances and also some of the results. So I think by and large, if you go back to the summer, we would not have expected to be in this position, would we? If you go back in the summer when we were fighting to try and stay in the division, to be actually looking at trying to compete to get in the playoffs. And I think also, Alex, it's the thing is that it must be on other clubs' minds that the Neil Warnock factor, the fact that he's been there and done it so many times, getting into the playoffs, and that he's particularly good at coming from the position with the second half of the season. That's where he's particularly good at sort of eking out the points and knowing the tactics. And you think back to many years ago at Middlesbrough, someone like Lenny Lawrence. Again, he was an old dab hand at managing those last few games. Also, in the way that some of the older fans like myself remember how we had games called off, and he was very astute in where he positioned those when the games was Barnsley match, he put them all together in a run, and we were able to get some momentum going from matches that had been postponed from the winter. So there's those sort of things that some of the older managers, some of the more seasoned guys can do. And I think that there'd be quite a few clubs out there that are very, very wary of Neil Warnock as well as Borough.
I know our fan from Brentford, who joined us a few weeks back before the third round of the FA Cup, of course, won't like us for saying this, but Brentford do look as though they are nestling nicely in terms of playoff positions at present. But that's another line entirely, because they're not fun for playoffs. And of course,
well, if you remember last season, Alex, it was a lesson for everyone, because it was Brentford had their late surge in that brief summer season, where they pushed up and almost got to second place, didn't they? Only to be denied. But things can happen when you get it. It's all to do. I think that's, and so that's exactly why Neil Warnock, going back to your original point, why he wants to put back-to-back wins together and put an unbeaten run again, because that's when you really, like, it's like snakes and ladders. That's when you really push your way up the table.
Exactly. Or, to use the vernacular, double down on your success.
Yeah, like it.
It's always quite nice as well to actually say, at this stage of the season, pretty much halfway through, Middlesbrough have exactly 5 points more than Liverpool Football Club. So there you go. We'll talk about games played and various other bits and pieces, but at the end of the day, Liverpool 34 points, Middlesbrough 39. So good to see that this sort of line is being addressed with that.
Yeah.
We talked about fans. We talked about Fly Me to the Moon. Obviously, this is the podcast. The fans' voice from that point of view, or indeed just one aspect of the fans' voice. And we do have a listener, I believe, in New York who will join us one of these days, but sadly couldn't connect to this one. That, of course, is the wonderful Ellen. Would you like to give her a little shout out and explain why Ellen, people who aren't familiar with her, is indeed a keen Borough fan, and a whole collection of Borough fans over on the East Coast of America who are probably still celebrating Joe Biden's presidency, as we mentioned earlier?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I'm sure they are. And yeah, Ellen Sowerby is she brings together a North American group of supporters. We've got like a particular hub in New York where she's based, but the right across the States and Canada. And they're avid watchers of Borough, several hours different time difference. And she's promising to be with us when we can accommodate the different time zones.
I thought we'd come very close today. I really thought we'd come close.
But... we were an hour out, weren't we, today? It was unlucky. Yeah. Next time, no doubt. But yeah, she's a big fan. She used to work at Borough TV, many years ago. And it would be great, wouldn't it, to hear about what it's like to support Borough in New York.
Exactly. Well, it'd probably bring a shaft of sunshine through the world and so on. Of course, I do believe that Red Army Radio should be carrying this as well. So good news from that point of view, which is, again, a borough-themed channel, which is around. I will mention Liverpool one more time, because there's a part when you sort of analyse football, which say, would you like a sort of situation where Middlesbrough, say, beats Blackburn are over 7-0 tomorrow and then actually proceed to lose and draw various other bits. Or would you prefer to actually have the goals spread out? So actually 1-2-0, what, you know, so it's a tough call, because on the one hand, you want to really kind of show that you're really up for the whole thing, but then it's a case of getting that balance right. Or is that just a typical fans' anxiety that we don't want to score more than two goals or one goals, because otherwise the players will then get complacent and then they'll find it difficult to score and so on and so forth. So actually, as it is the right sort of system that we're working through. Any thoughts, Rob? I'll just put it out there.
No, I can see why you're linking it to Liverpool, because they would give anything, wouldn't they, to score just one goal. And they were very free. Obviously, we only have to go back a month and they were that absolutely free scoring. And right.
Well, I'm not upset about them obviously going through their
reasons,
but you know, I'm more concerned about Kevin De Bruyne actually having sick out for 6 weeks, but that's by the by.
Oh dear. I think I just settled for a win on Sunday, and just to keep it going, but it'd be very good for the forwards, Brita Sambalonga and Watmore, for instance, to go on their own goal scoring run. It would do everyone good to know that there's a couple of players at least who are scoring regularly. And I'd like to see Ashley Fletcher back very soon, knocking on that door. But it'd be great it's a very good situation where we're not hoping that he's going to come in and is going to transform things. So yes, I'd prefer just to space out the goals, if you like, and enough goals to win each game.
Patrick Roberts, do you think he's still worth hanging on to and coordinating? I mean, again, mini signs that he's improving, or is it just a case of he's not necessarily one of Neil Warnock's prime choices?
Well, it appears not, doesn't it? It's he was obviously a match winner last summer. Well, let's hope that it looks like he's here till the end of the season, and he's got tremendous talent. Let's hope that he can push his way into the team, and if he can make the goals towards the end of the season, then that's going to be really timely, isn't it? That really is the time to make a big impact for the club.
Absolutely, the MCT. We've had the momentum. We want the consistency and timing, of course, the essence of the whole thing. Our next Flying to the Moon podcast will probably be ahead of, strangely enough, Brentford once again. Maybe we can actually invite our Brentford B to come back and join us on that side of things there for a sort of reprise result. That, of course, is Saturday the 6th of February. We'll be back with a podcast on the 5th of February, all being well. But how can people get hold of Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, for the rainy part of the season, and, of course, get the fabulous back issues?
Yes, indeed. Yes, if you go to fmttmborough.com and click on fanzine shop, I think it is, and I've got my details of how you can get the last fanzine, or you can get the next four fanzines, or you can get, as you said, Alex, all of the back issues and those going forward, which comes to 10 issues in a season. So fmttmborough.com is the place to get that information.
Quite frankly, a decade of delight. I mean, that's a delightful decade of FMTTM product, which is great.
A decade.
So we'll work our way through that whole thing. And predictions, I'm going to say 3-1 against Rotherham, and I'm going to say 1-1 against Blackburn Rovers. So there we are. That's my sort of line. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw tomorrow with a 3-1 victory against Rotherham, which overall I think will be okay. And that will probably lead into a 2-1 away win at Norwich City. So there we are.
Oh, that would be good. I'm thinking I'm going to go for 2-0 against Rotherham, going back to front like you. 2-1 against Blackburn and 1-1 at Norwich.
Stuart Downing might have something to say, of course, tomorrow, but that's all. Or indeed,
yes,
Sunday,
we haven't mentioned Stuart Downing, have we? It was good. It's good that he got a contract there again in the, eventually. And absolutely. Yeah. He's always got something to say. He does his talking on the pitch. He's a tremendous player still.
We could have shared details about Jordan Rhodes, but maybe not. That's a line entirely. So he never quite sort of managed to sort of replicate his original Blackburn form with Borough, but there you go. Let's wrap up with those final three words then, Rob. After three, a 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.